Today we're going to talk about lighting a fire. You know, when I talk about lighting a fire, everybody knows how, I guess, to light a fire, with an exception of me. I have trouble lighting fires. I'll tell you a story that happened when my wife and I were dating. I decided that I was going to take her down to my daddy's farm. Beautiful place. I've shown you pictures of it on the screen before, I think. And we decided that we're going to go on a picnic. And she fixes a fantastic picnic for us. And I decide that I'm going to carry my daddy's grill. And I'm going to cook hot dogs. So we get down there, and there is a spot on the farm that's right next to a little stream. And there's all kind of places there that you can get wood to put on your fire. And I'm going to build a fire and cook hot dogs. We had cold hot dogs that day. Nothing I did, including a half a can of lighter fluid, would light that fire. I tried leaves, I tried dried grass, I tried wood, I tried everything I could think of to light a fire, and it simply would not light. So like I said, we had cold hot dogs that day. So I need this lesson more than anyone, because I don't know how to light a fire. Now I do now, because now I bought me a grill and all I have to do is push a button and it does it for me. That's easy. I guess that's a lazy man's way. But anyway, we're going to talk about lighting a fire. But the fire I want to talk about is a spiritual fire. A fire that burns brightly in us as children of God. And we use a word to keep our fire going, and we call it zeal. And we put in zealous lives within ourselves to help us push forward with our Christianity. To make our lives spiritually what it needs to be. You know, zeal is like a roller coaster. We call it enthusiasm. And you know, just like anything else in life, we may have highs with our enthusiasm for God, and we may have lows with our enthusiasm for God. And we're always going up and down. At least I find that in my life. You know, I have difficulty sometimes keeping an even keel with anything that I do, really, and even with my spiritual life. Sometimes I feel like I'm on fire, and sometimes I feel like my fire is going out. And I guess we all deal with that to a certain degree. We experience highs and lows, and we fluctuate in our Christianity. So this morning, I would like for us to talk about lighting the fire, keeping the fire going, taking care of the fire spiritually within our lives. And what I want to do, I want to use an analogy of building and maintaining a campfire. Now, I don't know if we have any campers in here or not. I did it when I was a child because my daddy was a camper. And I should know how to build a fire because I watched him do it 100 times. But I want us to use the analogy of building a campfire to help us understand how we can light our spiritual fire and keep our spiritual fire going. You know, in building a campfire, and it's just like the zeal for God that we have within us, there is a process that we have to go through to get it right. If we want it to work right, if we want to have that end result, we have to go about this a certain way. There are some things that you need to do along the way to keep a fire going, whether it's a physical fire, whether it is a spiritual fire. So here I think maybe there are some things that can help us learn how to control our zeal and to keep our zeal moving forward, and we can do so by thinking about a fire. First of all, we have to prepare a place for our fire. Y'all pardon me, I'm going to have to depend on this quite a bit this morning. We have to prepare a place to have a good campfire. Usually it's going to be a place where several of us can sit around when the fire is going and it's roaring good, and we enjoy each other's company when we sit around the fire. Usually we have to clean the place up a bit. We brush off and sweep away leaves that can catch fire and cause the fire to move in a direction that we don't want it to move in. And we have to arrange our wood correctly so that the oxygen can get up and underneath the fire and keep the fire going. So you make all of these preparations to keep a fire going. You have to prepare if you're going to have a good fire. You know, and the same thing is true with Christianity. We have to prepare a place for our Christianity. You know, God chose the law of Moses to get the Jews ready for Christ to come. God also chose John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus for when he came. God has always wanted his people to be pure and free, to be free from ungodliness and lawlessness that sometimes the world will throw upon you. And the same thing is true now. We must each put away ungodliness from our lives and uncleanness from our lives and get the garbage out, if you will, so that we can prepare ourselves for Christianity. You know, Paul, in quoting Isaiah and Ezekiel, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 said, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." So we have to prepare our hearts, we have to prepare our minds to receive God, to receive His Son, and to receive His Word. We cannot just say, "I want to be a Christian," and when say here in this place, "I am a Christian," and then walk beyond these doors and live like the devil is our father. And many people, believe it or not, actually do that. We have to prepare ourselves for righteousness in our lives. At least that's what Paul is telling us here. So like a campfire, we must make ourselves ready to receive Jesus and also use it to increase our zeal. Next, we need to ignite our fire. After you have prepared it, after you have prepared the ground around it with sticks, logs, it's time to light the fire. Now, there are different ways to do this when lighting a campfire. You can use a lighter. You can use matches. And if you're doing it in the heat of the day under the sun, you can even use a magnifying glass. I remember as a kid, I used to do that all the time. You had to walk around with your magnifying glass. You see a leaf. You hold it up there. The sun's rays hits it and burns that leaf. I used to do this. You didn't hold it there very long because it would burn your hand. But you can use that to start a fire. Now, if you're really into roughing it, and I'm not, you can take two sticks, and if you have the stamina to rub those sticks together hard enough, fast enough, and long enough, you can create a spark and start a fire. You know, there are three things you need to start a fire. You need oxygen, you need fuel, and a source of ignition. What about our spiritual fire? How do we start that spiritual fire? How can we get that zeal started? How can we motivate ourselves to take that first step? You know, it can be a real challenge to take that first step as a child of God. But you can do it if you want to. You know, as Christians, we find different ways to ignite our zeal, to get ourselves started, to get ourselves moving forward. Things like maybe, Bible studies, worship services like we are doing right now. When we get together for a meal or for a social event, to enjoy one another's company, to sit and discuss Bible things so that we can learn from one another. All of these things is a great way to help us ignite a fire, to help us to get things started, to get ourselves started. Now, I don't know about you, but a couple of weeks ago, we had our gospel meeting with Brother Harold Savage. And I've already told him since that time that I'm already having Savage withdrawals, because I love to listen to Harold Savage speak. And when he left here 2 weeks ago, I don't know about you, but I felt better as a Christian. After the things he had to say to us, I felt like that we can pick up and we can move on. And I'm not saying we've got a lot to pick up, but what I'm saying is we can pick up whatever we need to pick up and we can move on. We can move forward, we can move ahead, and we can go forward as a church because he encouraged us to do just that. And that's what we need. We need encouragement to continue in our zeal, to move forward in our lives, to be what God would have us to be. You know, the Hebrew writer thought it was very important, and that's why he told us in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And this list of things that I've just mentioned is all part of Hebrews 10, 25. It's bringing ourselves together. Being a part of something that is far bigger than we are. Being a part of something that is so great that it is indeed the greatest thing that can ever be in life. The church, that which God gave His Son to die for, that which He established on day of Pentecost, that which is growing, which is thriving, which can be what we want it to be. And you and I can be a part of that. And we need to push ourselves forward to be what God would have us to be. You know, I mentioned the three things it takes to start a fire. There are three things that it takes to start a spiritual fire, to start zeal. And those three things are God, character, and purity. If you have these within you, your zeal should abound. Your zeal should be pushing you forward. You should be at the top of the ladder, ready to go higher and higher and be what God would have you to be. So friends, we need to ignite our fire. Next, we need to fuel our fire. We usually associate fueling our fire with preparation. Again, we have to arrange our firewood in a way so that it will burn properly. We have to stack it in a certain way. You know, you can stack wood wrong and it won't burn. If you stack it right, where oxygen can get underneath and feel what flame is there so that it will grow, it will fire off. And once the fire is started, once you have it going, once you ignite it, you need to fuel it. In our lives, we need to fuel a spiritual fire. Zeal needs to be arranged in a way to work and create the best benefits. Our hearts need to be prepared to seek the Lord. Our hearts need to be prepared to commit ourselves to Him. You know, wet, green, and moldy wood will not burn. And the same thing is true with a heart that is drenched in sin. A heart that is drenched in sin is not going to be zealous for God because it's not going to be a godly heart. It's not going to be a righteous heart. Once we get started, we have to add to what we have so that we can go forward. Now, the Apostle Peter tells us how to do that in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. He talks about things that we can add to ourselves so that our zeal will abound, so that our Christianity will abound. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. These things will help you fuel your fire. These things will help you grow as a child of God. These things will give you zeal that you will want to grow as a child of God. So we need to fuel it. We need to keep it going and do whatever it takes so that we may grow. The next thing we need to learn to do is how to protect our fire. You know, winds can be harsh, and fire danger can be especially harsh around us. Every year in the state of California, tremendous fires destroy thousands of acres in California. Many homes have been lost. Many lives have been lost because of the fires in California. And it takes them days. It may take them weeks to bring this fire under control. My friends, we must learn to shield our fire from the wind. We also need to protect our spiritual fire. We need to be aware that there are dangers out there. There are people out there who would like to see your Christian fire go out. They would like to see you fail as a child of God. They would like to see you turn your back on the Savior that gave His life for you. And we need to be aware of these dangers that are out there lurking about, looking for you and looking for me to destroy our Christianity. You know, according to Peter in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Satan is out there. And he's prowling around. He's like a roaring lion, and he is looking to devour someone. And guess who it is? It's you. And it's me. He is looking to destroy you and me. And that's why Paul tells us we have to be ready for this. We have to protect ourselves from Satan because he will attack. There is no one in this room that he hasn't already attacked. And there is no one in this room, if you live another day, that he will not attack again. He is going to come after us every day that we live in ways that we may not even think imaginable. But he will come after us. And he will try to destroy us. And Paul says, hey, we have to be ready for this. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us a list of things that we can do that will help us in this effort to protect ourselves. When he talks about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the shoes, he talks about the breastplate, all of these things, they're defensive weapons to keep us protected. And all the things that he gives us, only one is an offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's the only thing we have to fight with. Everything else is to defend ourselves. But you know, when you think about that, that sword of the Spirit, that Word of God, that's really all we need, isn't it? Because as long as we stand by that sword of the Spirit, as long as we stand by that Word of God, we can ward off Satan and the things that he throws at us. And using these other things as shields to defend ourselves, we can win this battle against Satan. We need to learn to protect the fire, folks. We need to protect our Christianity. We need to protect our enthusiasm so that we can move forward as a child of God. Next, we need to use that fire. You know, fire provides us with a lot of things. Fire gives us heat when it is cold. Fire allows us to cook our food. Fire provides light for us to see. Fire protects us from predators because many predators fear light and fear the heat of fire. We can also use our spiritual fire in our lives. And again, we call it zeal. Zeal keeps us going when things around us cool down or try to cool us down. Zeal can motivate us to give us the spiritual nourishment that we need to keep going. We can make the best use of our zeal to do what God would have us to do. Zeal can be a light to others to help them show the way. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the one that shines for those outside of Christ to see. Let your light shine. When you let your light shine, my friends, you're shining your zeal. You're shining your enthusiasm. You're shining your passion for God and for His Son. You can help people find the path of truth. And that light can be you. Zeal can protect us from Satan. Zeal can protect us from religious error. Zeal can protect us from sin. Which is why we need this next step. We need to share our fire. You know, around the fire, It's a really great time for us to sit around together, enjoy each other's company. No phones, no TV, no iPads, no iPods, no distractions. Some of you remember last year when the hurricane came through. For a few days, none of these devices worked. Wasn't it wonderful? It was actually quite pleasant. You know, people actually had to communicate without the use of a text or a tweet. Children actually had to use their imagination when they wanted to play instead of grabbing a machine or a game. They had to think on their feet if they wanted to play. You know, even in this congregation, one service we couldn't meet in here. We went outside under my big tree in the backyard of my house. Our worship service was as simple as it gets. It was just like it was in the days of the early church. Wasn't it wonderful? I can't tell you how many of you have come up to me and said, "Oh, let's do that again. That was great." And I'd like to do it again too, minus the hurricane. But it was simple. And sometimes, my friend, simplicity is wonderful. You know, in sharing our faith, we need the heat of a campfire. We need your campfire. We need the heat of your fire. We need the zeal that comes from your Christianity to help us be what we need to be. And we can share that fire. We call it the Great Commission. Jesus gave it to us right before he left to go back to his Father in heaven. He said, "Go into all the world. You tell everyone about the wonderfulness of Christianity. You give them the zeal. You give them the passion. You give them the love of Christianity that you have. And watch it grow and watch it spread." And you read the first few chapters of Acts and you will see that's exactly what it did. And yes, we can still do that. And we didn't even let the distraction of a hurricane stop us. Isn't that wonderful? And then finally, we need to tend our fire. If you don't keep your eyes on a campfire, it will go out. We must maintain what we have, or we're going to lose it. We have to add fuel to what already exists if we're going to keep it burning. We're going to have to stay alert as Christians, because if we go to sleep, the fire will go out. From a spiritual standpoint, we need to take whatever measures we can to keep God's word before people's eyes. Pat and I were talking the other day about the problems that we have in life. And I'm not going to go into all that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I brought up something that, of course, like most of you or a lot of you in this room, I can go back 50 plus years in my mind as to how things used to be. 50 years ago, it wasn't uncommon at all to turn on your TV and there would be a scripture from God's Word on the tube. It wasn't uncommon at all to walk into your school and the first thing that you did was to say a prayer to your God before you began your day. It wasn't uncommon at all that you would go to a sporting event and the very first thing that would happen is that you would pray to your God for the safety of the participants and for the safety of all who were there and to thank God for blessings that we have in life. Today they put you in jail if you tried to do that. And you see how society has changed over the last 50 years. We had God before our minds. We had God before our children's minds. And life was better. I know we had our problems at that time too. And I know we still had the meanness of the world and of the devil. But my friends, it wasn't the way it is now. And I tried to blame it on media because they just inform us about it. The only thing we have more now because media informs us about it is tornadoes. Because they have ways of seeing it that we didn't have seen it 50 years ago. life has digressed because God is no longer a part of our lives. The states of Georgia and Alabama have just recently done the most wonderful thing in joining Mississippi and South Carolina in putting together the abortion law. Hey, y'all been keeping up with that, I guess. It's a wonderful thing to put an end to abortion. And I see the wheels spinning in Washington. What are we going to do about this? How are we going to stop the states from doing this? Because right now they can't stop the states from doing this. But they'll figure out a way to come in to take control over the state's decision to end abortion. You see what our world is coming to? And it's because we don't have God as a part of it. God has been eliminated from it. And we need to do what we can to put God before the eyes of people. We need to do what we can so that they will know that there is a God that loves them, but there is a God that is going to be just with them on Judgment Day. Y'all stop me when I say something wrong. We need God. And we need to tend our fire. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the people gathered before Ezra the priest, and he brought out the book of law before them. And in verse 8 it says, "And they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading." Do you know he could be talking to us? Because isn't that our job as well? First of all, give it to them. If they don't understand it, explain it to them so that they will know what God's Word says. We need to tend the fire, then. We need to continue in our study to learn God's Word in our own mind and heart so that we can go out there and teach to those who really don't understand it. And again, it's all part of zeal. I believe that we can fan our flame. I believe that we can get our fire started. I believe we can bring it to a roaring, blazing fire. I believe we can move it forward. I believe that we can give it to the world. But I don't believe that I can do it alone. It's going to take every person fanning his flame for God. But if we fall into a rut, I'm afraid that our fire, our zeal, will go out. My friends, have you lost your fire? Hey, do you no longer have that drive that makes you want to continue as a child of God? Have you lost that encouraging word? Have you lost that fever that makes you hot for God? If so, my friend, you need to get it back. You must make the effort to make God number one in your life again. And friends, if you make God number one in your life, the people around you are going to know it. They're going to see it. And if nothing else, they may say, what is it with you? And then you can tell them, I'm a Christian. I have God on my side. And maybe they will want him to. And today, my friend, if you're not a Christian, I have to tell you, you don't even have a fire. And you need to start a fire. And you can do that by giving your life to the Lord. By coming today in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And you can have a flame. And then you can take that little flame and you can fuel it and you can tend it and you can take care of it and you can help it grow and you can make it what you need it to be for God. And let your zeal run wild. This morning, if you need to start a fire or if you need to fix your fire, we give you that opportunity now while we stand to sing.